Hi, I'm Mindy.
And I'm Tara.
And we are
Two Citizen Moms.
Thanks for joining us again. We're still hanging in there.
Episode 6, right?
Yeah.
They said we wouldn't make it.
Yeah, I heard that there was, what, is it 80, 90% of people who start these things never get to episode 6, so.
We didn't think we would.
We maybe won't finish after this one. This may be the last one, but.
So we've got so much stuff going on today, right? It's been a crazy week, and it feels like it's getting crazy.
We're 2 weeks since we last had this podcast, so we're 2 weeks. We do it bi-weekly.
Yeah, a lot has happened in the last 2 weeks.
You know, daily things change on all of you. You know how every day we wake up and we wonder what the headlines are going to be.
Yeah.
How much more can we be in the twilight zone?
Yeah, exactly. So we're going to go ahead and just kind of jump into our overview.
Yeah, so the first thing we want to go is on our local updates. Things locally happen in our counties, in our state here locally, North Carolina. One of the things that we asked of all of you, our North Carolina citizens, because you ask of us, what can we do? We ask you, do you value your freedom? And we saw that there were 4 sheriff letters that were circulating around the United States. And I think there's more, but we got a hold of 4 of them. And we put a template out there for you to be able to, number one, print those 4.
Tell them where we put it.
We put it on Telegram, Two Citizen Moms, TWO, Citizen Moms, MOS, Telegram. And it's a pen.
MOMS.
MOMS. What did I say? Moms?
MOS.
So you're going to print those 4 letters. You're going to pick one of them. You're going to use it as your draft letter. You just literally copy it. That's what that means. And you're going to take it to your county sheriff or your city police chief. You're going to meet with them in person, your sheriff or your city police chief. Not everybody has a sheriff. And not every community has one.
And what's just the overview of the letter?
Explain
what's in it.
Here it is. So basically, the letter starts off with COVID vaccine mandates. That's what you're writing, and that's what he will write or she will write. It says, beginning in March 2020, we have seen a tremendous amount of controversy over COVID, mask mandates, restrictions, and lockdowns. And it goes on to say, you know, as law enforcement officers, our first and foremost duty and what we all swear an oath to do is to support and defend the Constitution of the United States. It is in the defense and the defense of individual liberty and that county. This sheriff will not and has not and will never mandate the COVID vaccine. So it just kind of goes on. I'm not pro-vaccine nor anti-vaccine. I am pro-freedom for each person's ability and responsibility to decide for themselves. And it goes on and it ends. So we've asked you to do that. Meet with your police official. Bring sheriff. The drafted letter. And the 4 letters that you printed as examples. So the sheriffs can also see the standing for freedom and against tyranny that other sheriffs have done and other police chiefs. And then you're going to ask them to take it and print it on their letterhead. Sign it, date it, and then you're going to post it on social media, on websites, and you're going to also take it to local businesses and show them what your law enforcement people are going to back you in your community.
It's going to be a really good way to actually flush out the constitutional sheriffs from
the
tyrannical, you know, communists.
Well, you're going to know who's going to be coming after you and knocking on your door.
Well, for sure. I think most people at this point, there's 100 counties in North Carolina. I think most people at this point probably know where their sheriff stands, but I think it's an important
exercise.
Get it in writing. Yeah. Absolutely. Yep.
And then you're going to share this with your county GOPs, your county NCGA representatives, your senator, your county school board, your county commissioners, your mayors, your city mayors. You're just going to take this with you.
And it was just one way to kind of preemptively get ahead of additional vaccine mandates that are coming down the pike. Was that the intention?
It is. Yeah. And you get it signed, dated, with their letterhead on it as well. You ask them to do the same thing that the sheriff did. And then you're going to post these and you're going to go all over North Carolina with it, basically, so that we can actually stand together united. And then that's basically separates the ones that we know that will and the ones that won't.
Yeah. So it was one exercise in expressing freedom, essentially.
It is. So You can't comply yourself out of tyranny. We say it all the time. There's no excuses. I kind of put a little sarcasm at the bottom. Hey, I don't have any time. I don't have a printer. I don't have ink. Why me? I'm retired. I'm wealthy. Until you're not. I work from home. I mask and I test regularly. I'm vaccinated. It doesn't matter. Do you value your freedom is the bottom line.
Yeah. So you can check out the templates for all of these letters on To Citizen Moms. I think we're going to link to our website as well, right? So Telegram.
Yes, we have a website yep, now.
And the website. So if you are, you know, just asking yourself when we speak, we always say, hey, ask yourself every day, what's one thing I can do to share the gospel and one thing I can do for my country in order to promote the ideas and the principles of liberty? This is an exercise everybody can do.
Yeah. And the next thing that we had for a local update, we asked if you are a leader or part of an organization that has at least 100 or 200 participants, not that you're just in a group and you're not active.
So give us some examples. So we've got like, you know, Alamance County GOP, you know, the women, we've got
the Patriot groups in Wake County. Mm-hmm. You know, we have all kinds of groups.
We've got some like PTA groups that mm-hmm. are starting to step up, right? Parents that are uniting yes. around, you know, the mandates for the school kids. So if you are the leader of a group
of at least 100 to 200,
yeah.
not 5 or 10 of you, or I hate to say that, but you need a massive amount of people.
A good base. Yes. Yeah. Get in touch with us, because one of the things that we've started to do in the last 2 weeks is to connect leaders county by county, city by city, so that we can become more well organized and we can actually unite. So give an example, like, you know, the Union County.
Well, we have one particular contact that has started pushing back in Union County, mm-hmm. and that would be a great resource for you mm-hmm. to start in your county. So that person that we aren't going to announce, but if you contact us and you want that person's
we'll
information, we will connect yeah. them to you. So you can just go straight to our To Citizen Moms, with this number 2,
yeah.
citizenmoms.com. There's a contact us link, and you can just say what you need information
yeah,
for.
Yeah, and so you might be a leader inside of a healthcare community, right? So if you are in a group where you've got 100 doctors and nurses, and mm-hmm. you are all pushing back against what's going on, you might be in a church where you've got a lot of church and religious leaders that are getting together. You know, so
or you want to start one your own?
Here's
the way to motivate yourself.
You might work for a town or a municipality, city mm-hmm. of Raleigh, and you're, you know, in a group and you want to connect with people that are pushing back. If you have already put together a substantially sized group and you've got a leader, we're trying to connect leaders to leaders.
And we do have connections for teachers that are starting to do this
yep.
across.
Teachers, we forgot about teachers.
Yep. We have teachers that are doing that as well.
Mm-hmm. We have teachers, we have firefighters, we have police officers.
First responders.
Yes.
So if you're a police officer, a first responder, a healthcare worker, and you are starting to organize and you also need legal help or don't know where to go with that, we
yeah.
also have that as well for you. So contact us. We really need everybody to start coming together.
Yeah. And really there's power in numbers and the connections are key.
We can't say that enough.
Yep. So tocitizenmoms@hotmail.com. Right?
Mm-hmm.
Reach out and let us know what your group is, who
the
leader.
Email, but it's you said at Hotmail.
Is that wrong?
No, we're just leading them to the website.
Now. Oh, yeah. Yeah. Well, we could do both, right?
Yeah.
So if you're a leader or you want to give us the name of the leader and the contact information and, you know, just what is the name of your group and what is the primary focus of your group, reach out and we're going to help, you know, make these connections.
And the next one that we want to jump into really quickly is whistleblowers.
Yeah.
We need healthcare whistleblowers. We did get another one that came forward with us after our last podcast and after us putting out like a call to action on our Telegram page
yeah.
asking for that. We really need this medical tyranny to
be exposed.
Dismantled
yeah.
and exposed.
Yeah.
And you are the key to that. Healthcare workers are the key to this.
Yeah. One of the things that we've been doing in the last week is helping people who have loved ones in the hospital that are not getting the proper treatments. And if you are paying attention, I'm sure you're seeing all over the country, there are families that are having to retain attorneys and go before judges in order to get their loved ones on the FLCCC treatments. And so I feel like it was really just in the last week, we started getting call after call after call where families inside various North Carolina hospitals were really facing life and death situations, and the protocols that the family wanted were not being honored. And so it's been sobering.
Do you want us to jump into that?
Yeah, we may as well. Yeah.
So what we're seeing at the hospitals, if you've already got to that point where you are admitted and you're in the hospital and your loved one has been either separated from you mm-hmm. or you're with them, but the protocol is the CDC mandated protocols, which is basically a death cocktail.
Yeah.
Remdesivir, dexamethasone, right?
Dexamethasone and vancomycin. Yeah. Which is a very powerful antibiotic.
Right. So this combination is what we're seeing is causing an acute kidney failure in mm-hmm. less than 5 days. They're documenting multiple organ failure for CV19, mm-hmm. but doctors are pointing to this cocktail, even though it's really being said it's COVID.
And this particular cocktail it's got greater than a 50% mortality rate. The Remdesivir, you can research. There's a lot on the internet right now about who's behind that, Fauci and his connections.
We talked about it in our last episode, but we have links on that too from our last episode.
Yeah, and so the preferred protocol, of course, the one that's actually saving lives, is FLCCC and Dr. Zelenko's protocol. And so that is the one that, because the CDC and the NIH has not rubber stamped its approval, because, you know, there's not massive amounts of money behind the FLCCC protocols and the drugs that are involved in those therapies.
Well, ivermectin has been used for millions around the world.
And it's super cheap.
And it's pennies. It's a couple of 2 or 3 cents. And Remdesivir just passed the FDA approval.
Well, of course it did.
In October of 2020.
Mm-hmm. And it's an experimental. It's thousands. It's $3,000 or $4,000 dose or per patient. Yes. I think it's per dose. So really, you know, what the struggle is at this point is how, if you have a loved one that has, you know, unfortunately been admitted to a hospital. And we're asking everybody, keep your loved ones out of the hospitals. In fact, if we're being honest, we've been hearing from doctor and nurse after doctor and nurse that are telling us to tell you, don't go to the hospital.
And we'll talk a little bit about that, but let's go into the 1, 2, 3s. Number one, can your patient or the sick person make medical decisions on their own behalf? If yes, then they need to direct their medical care and state whom they wish to carry out their medical directives, just in case. So if they don't have medical power of attorney, you need to make sure that's set, or that they speak. My wife, my sister, my friend is also going to make healthcare decisions.
And that it's noted in their patient file.
And it's noted in your mm-hmm. file. Now, if that patient is asking for specific care and it's being denied, the number one thing you need to ask, do you have a primary doctor and have they been contacted? And then you need to go straight into, can they advise medical care on their behalf? If they do not contact them, it needs to be done stat right away. You need to get in touch with your primary care doctor. So if it's in the middle of the night, you need to get the on-call doctor. Simultaneously, you need to contact the patient advocate of the hospital. State the patient's direct care is being denied. That's all you need to say. The patient's direct care is being denied. Contact us if you need attorney intervention. That needs to be done simultaneously. If the staff is not honoring the patient's directives for their medications they do or do not want, literally, this needs to be coordinated at the same time, because it is life and death within 24 to 48 hours as time goes by when people are getting sick. And if they are trying to put them on this death cocktail, mm-hmm. they're seeing literally organ shutdown within less than five days.
Yeah.
So those are the basic steps. Can a patient make their own decisions on their own behalf? Yes or no? Either way, you need to get on the record that you are either their advocate or you're not. They are able to do it themselves. And then you also need to go straight to getting the primary doctor. If someone does have a primary doctor, get them contacted or the on-call. And then they need to contact the patient advocate of the hospital, state the patient's direct care is being denied. And then you need to contact us for attorney intervention, and we will give you a referral. And we do see your emails. So send them over and contact us. put it on our Telegram. If there's something that you need to get us, we will try to get to that immediately. And that's it. Those are the really basics of getting this done. Now, there are other places around the United States that are saying to handle it a little differently, and we put that on our website where Dr. Artis, mm-hmm. he interviewed a nurse that was saying, you know, go through all of these protocols with the on-call or the case managers. Or
it was very complicated. We've taken a much quicker approach.
Well, we've dealt with five different circumstances in the last 2 weeks. Mm-hmm. Since our last time we have. Mm-hmm. We've dealt with Baptist Hospital, Wake, Rex 3 different times.
And
Wake
if you Hospital. Don't know what to ask for, you can go to COVID-19criticalcare.com and it's going to give you the FLCCC Critical Care Alliance treatment protocols, the physicians, you can contact their team. More than anything, you do not want the
Remdesivir.
You do not want that. You do want FLCCC. So if you've never heard of FLCCC, start researching.
Yep. Frontline COVID-19 Critical Care Alliance. Budesonide is what is helping people. That's an asthma steroid. It's been used forever. Dr. Richard Bartlett in Texas, he did extensive work on that. He was the first one that brought it to Texas. He turned around Texas by like over 80%.
Yeah, so it's a multi-therapy approach. It's the ivermectin, hydroxychloroquine, zinc, your IV vitamin C, your budesonide. They've thrown in some, I think, melatonin, aspirin, all of your anti-clotting.
And this is not medical advice. We just tell you, do your own research. We have these doctors that have been literally collectively, there's so many of them, they have been healing and saving millions of lives now.
Yeah, that we've been into this. Is it the doctor in Texas that hasn't lost a single patient because he's been using, you know, this care?
But if you have diabetes or high blood pressure, consult your healthcare physician on what things you may or may not be able to take.
Yeah. So we can talk a little bit too about the monoclonal antibodies. So if you are unaware, there are monoclonal antibodies sites all over North Carolina.
All over North Carolina. And we'll put the link as well, but there is.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. And monoclonal antibodies can only be given in the first 10 days of illness. So a lot of people have said to us,
And have a comorbidity.
So a lot of people have said to us, well, you know, we're on day 5, day 6. We've taken the ivermectin. We've taken hydroxychloroquine and zinc. We've done, you know, your vitamin C, your NAC, melatonin, all of the stuff that you told us to do, right? We're on day 6 and things are not looking good. What do I do now? Do I take my loved one to a hospital? Our answer, you know, is no. Honestly, what we are hearing even from most doctors is try to keep your loved ones out of the hospitals because it's a disaster right now. We had a nurse this week refer to our hospitals as the killing fields. I mean, it's very real. So all of that said, monoclonal antibodies, you know, anecdotally, we're hearing really good things. For those of you who are pro-life and have struggled with the ethics of the abortion-derived vaccines, you should know that monoclonal antibodies were developed with testing on the HEK293 fetal cell line, which is the exact same cell line that was used in the development of the Pfizer and Moderna vaccines. And so, you know, we've had this kind of ethical debate back and forth about monoclonal antibodies and the fact that a lot of people who claim to be pro-life are, you know, propping this up as a, you know, potential life-saving therapeutic.
But that's between you and, you and your Lord and your belief system. Yeah. That is not for us to stand and judge you.
It's not. And one of our goals is to inform. And one of the things that we realized very recently is that while there was a lot of conversation that was surrounding the vaccines and their relationship with abortion, there has not been a lot of conversation about the monoclonal antibodies also being HEK293 developed. Right. And so you should know that about it.
We've sent a couple of people in the last week, and they both did really well.
They did very well.
And they came back to us. So, I mean, we refer it. If someone asks us, we just tell them
full disclosure, informed consent. And that's one of the things when you fight inside medical freedom is for us, you know, personally, for ethics, we personally do not believe that abortion-derived or developed vaccines or medicines should even exist, right?
That's
right. We don't believe that. However, they do exist. And one of the things that we attempt to do when we speak is to inform and give informed consent. So monoclonal antibodies is a much better, much more successful treatment. And it is a possibility for somebody who's maybe gotten day 5, 6, 7 and is not progressing in the right direction. So keep that in your pocket as well.
But what we like to also remind you is preventative measures.
Absolutely.
Prayer is really great for us, as well as a healthy lifestyle. We talked about that with Lisa, the RN that I had on, on episode 4. Eat healthy, exercise. Breathe fresh air. We know masks do not stop the spread of respiratory viruses.
They don't?
Multiple studies have been done. So we
like 47 and 35 more. And
And get sunshine.
Yeah. Lots of vitamin D.
Yes.
The number one thing that you can do for your health, not just COVID-19, is make sure that you've got good, high vitamin D levels.
And we have a link to how you can check that.
Yep.
And mail it in. It's very inexpensive, and you'll know what your vitamin D levels are.
Yeah.
But that is a cell in your body that it takes your entire immune system is your vitamin D level.
Yeah, and if you don't have the money to do that, 4,000 to 5,000 international units a day is really where you want to hang out at. If you're going to get sun, get it on your belly.
That's
you
right.
Are
pull
going,
up your
yeah, pull up your shirt and get it on your belly 20 minutes a day. You're going to absorb a lot more vitamin D that way. And honestly, natural vitamin D, in my humble opinion, is a much
it is
greater benefit than anything that, you could take. But if you can't get it that way, take it and try to take it with something that involves fat, because vitamin D absorbs better in your body when you take it with fat. That's just one of those fun facts.
And we give you references to telemed so that you can stay out of the hospital early prevention. So they're going to help you with that.
Yep.
They're not doing prophylactics. Most doctors now, you need to, unfortunately, you have to be sick.
I feel like we cannot forget telling people about the nebulized hydrogen peroxide too. We have had tremendous success with nebulized hydrogen peroxide therapy, food grade hydrogen peroxide. It's Lugol's iodine, saline, and a $50-$60 nebulizer that you can buy on Amazon. We will link the protocol to that as well.
Yes, we will.
Yeah.
So, and then we can just go right into talking about the passports that go into these antibodies.
Yeah. So I think it was last week's show. We I feel like every single week we kind of give a warning and then we kind of like watch things play out. And then, we give another warning and we watch things play out. And a week or two ago, we started really seeing this shift from people on the right, on the conservative side, kind of linking the idea that we don't necessarily have inalienable constitutional rights.
Right, that it's all linked to some kind of a test.
Right. And so the idea was, okay, we're not okay with our freedom being linked to a vaccine, but we're okay with it being linked to
natural immunity.
Right. So we were going, oh my goodness, we've got to stop acting like somehow if we can prove that we have antibodies and that we, have recovered, that if we can prove that, now we don't have to mask or test or tack, or trace or, any of the insane things that are going on right now. Because if our freedom is linked to an antibodies test, how's that any different than if it's linked to a vaccine
and
passport?
And they're already trying to change the narrative. The CDC is right now that your natural immunity is not as good as getting a vaccine. And it was always the other way around.
Exactly.
So, even just a couple of episodes back with Del Bigtree,
right?
They were literally, we have the white papers that he has put out there on his site, and they had videos of them testifying before Congress stating this. And even the director of the CDC, that your natural immunity is better than taking this vaccination.
And that's fabulous. However, so we started saying, okay, but our freedom and our right to move about freely in society and to work and to travel and to have access to healthcare and to have our children educated, our freedom can't be tied even to our ability to prove natural immunity. Because if that's the case, right? if freedom is tied to a mask, you're not free. If freedom is tied to a test, you're not free. If freedom is tied to a vaccine, you're not free. So we said, you just wait. This is what's going to happen as the vaccine starts to fail. And it is becoming more and more mainstream, the failure rate. We're going to see a new push. And the new push is going to tie our liberty to being able to prove natural immunity. Well, guess what? We get on Zero Hedge and read this headline here. Just, it came out Monday, September 13th. Michigan healthcare system says workers with natural immunity don't need a vaccine.
So your liberty's hinged on a lab value.
Yeah. And so this is scary to us. Not because we don't believe in natural conferred immunity.
That's
obviously
right.
We do. It's scary to us that anybody is
going to continue to comply in this narrative.
Yeah. And so what, and seriously, okay, so you go, and we'll link this to our show notes. You go through and you read this article. It makes all the claims. Natural infection with the prior strain of COVID was as much as 13 times more effective at preventing future infection as being fully vaccinated, right? So it's touting, singing the praises of natural immunity. Great, great. We know this. However, what this hospital system then decided to do was, oh, you know what? We're going to go ahead and grant temporary exemptions from employee vaccine mandates to individuals who can prove that they have naturally acquired immunity to COVID-19. And it goes on to say that if you have a positive antibody test from within the past 3 months, you can qualify for an exemption. So
every 3 months,
you got to prove antibodies.
If you're a good little citizen or a good little employee, maybe it'll come back positive.
Mm-hmm.
Maybe it'll come back negative.
Well, I'm thinking it's going to come back whatever the regime says it's going to come back, depending upon whether or not you spoke out against the regime.
Do you think?
Yeah.
Are they doing that somewhere else?
Kind of like in China. Yeah. So we asked you this last week. We're going to ask you again. Do not participate in antibodies testing any more than you're willing to engage in taking the vax.
That's right.
Masking, quarantining, testing, tracking, tracing, or any of the other communist public health policies.
Everybody's hair has been on fire and you all just stepped right up and got your exemptions, right? I am not going to inject this in my body, but I'll continue to put a mask on for the rest of my life and test.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, really?
Mm-hmm.
Where is it going to end?
Well, and you know, it was interesting because we've started to hear from a lot of employees. It was the Raleigh city employees. We had some reach out and go, oh, hey, guess what? We got our exemption, but now they're taking the cost of the testing out of our paychecks. And they're telling us we're going to have to mask for the rest of our life. And so please do not allow the next hook in the fish's mouth to be the antibodies test, because you can just see that this is going to be the next pivot.
And with that said, if you have a group of people, or you don't know if there's anybody like you, say you're the only one in your squad, or you're in your firehouse, and you're not sure if there's other ones that are like-minded, reach out to us because we do have groups that are forming in the city of Raleigh right now that are wanting to push back. But I'm telling you, there is power in numbers.
Yep.
You all have got to start collectively coming together.
And we saw that, I think, was it San Diego?
It was the
police union in San Diego.
Even though we're a right-to-work state, you can form yourself like you're a union.
Yeah.
You don't have to be in the mentality it's a right-to-work state.
Yeah.
You can do sick-ins and call-outs and all of that, just like unions do.
Yeah, so there's this panic that's going on right now in several states and several hospital systems and several cities because more than 30 to 40% of employees have gotten together and pushed back. It is going to be harder in North Carolina because we are not unionized. Where we're seeing the greatest victories are in New York with their healthcare workers, right? And then with the first responders out in California with their unions. It's the challenge here is no joke, because
so this platform, for whatever reason, God has put us on it. And we are a conduit for you into getting the information out and for you to come to us confidentially so that we can get you to the right people.
Yeah.
We are here to fight with you and educate you All we can do is give you the information, tell you what your rights are, yes, what your God-given rights are, your constitutional rights, your civil rights, the discrimination that's happening. Yes. And then what are you going to do with it? Here it is.
And the number one thing we're asking you to do with it, stop complying. It's actually not even complicated. We talked about this yesterday on Telegram. For the first time in 18 months, we had somebody reach out to us and say that they were not only not going to agree to the vax mandate by their company, but they were going to tell their company, I will not mask. I have never masked. Actually, this person has never complied. I will not test. I will not agree to be quarantined or treated, you know, with disparate treatment. I'm not doing any of it. You know why? Because I am an American and I have inalienable constitutional rights that were given to me by God and affirmed in our founding documents. It's not the other way around. Government never gave us our rights. Any government that can give you your rights has the right to take them away. That's right. So that, you know, that was the unique part of the American experiment. And that's what made the dream that is America unique, is that our founders said, these rights can't be taken away from you because they were given to you by God. And the Bible talks about this. One of the things that we always share when we speak is the verse in 2 Corinthians 3 that says, where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is freedom. And you know, the parallel, the opposite of that is where the Spirit of the Lord is not. Mm-hmm. There is tyranny. And, you know, part of what we're seeing in this nation is the widespread cultural rejection of God. And so, you know, we're not only asking you to contemplate pushing back in you know, a socioeconomic way at your job, you know,
not just to save a paycheck.
Yeah, not just to save a paycheck. Mm-hmm. This has to be a decision that you make to exercise the liberty that God has given you. And if you don't know how to do that, pick up a Bible and start in Romans chapter 1. Mm-hmm. So all of that said, moving forward, is that it for this segment?
And Jack Hibbs does some great Bible study. Jack Hibbs.
Absolutely.
With Calvary Chapel.
Chino Hills,
mm-hmm. California.
Yep. And J.D. Farag as well.
Yes. And we'll link that.
Yep.
But the reason why we say this is not going to legislatively be handled. It's not going to be handled in the judicial system. Even though we're saying we have people, we collectively just need to get you all together. Mm-hmm. Because when groups get together, mm-hmm. it will shut this down. They can't run a police force with 30 or 40% of you not complying.
That's right.
They can't teach children if the teachers will stand up. They can't run organizations and businesses and conglomerates if the people say, I am no longer going to participate in this.
And if worse comes to worse,
it has nothing to do with going it to court.
No.
You can do this outside of all of that if we all stand together.
And if worse comes to worse and we do lose inside the judicial system, you have found your tribe,
right?
You have found your people and you have found the people that are going to help take care of you and build a parallel system if, you know, the Lord doesn't come rescue us out of this any day now.
That's right. So let me give you a shout out to somebody that's, we're going to keep anonymous, but sent us an email, and this is a nurse in the healthcare.
Oh yeah.
You read it, Tara.
Cool. Yeah. So this nurse just sent us a really sweet email. It says, hey, Mindy and Tara, I just want to let you know I'm with you all the way. Thank you for taking the stand and educating those outside of the medical field, because the system is now so corrupt that they are willing to lose greatly skilled and educated nurses just to further their agenda and to pad the pockets of CEO shareholders and big pharma. It is amazing how quickly the tables turned upon us. Last year, we nurses were heroes. This year, we are zeros. Why isn't it making the general public stop and take notice when we nurses are leaving our lifelong careers in the medical field because we don't believe in the vaccine? This should scream volumes. And we just want to say that we get these daily.
We do.
From nurses who are standing up and pushing back, from teachers who are standing up and pushing back, from doctors, from police officers. It has been, I think, as frustrated as we are and as discouraged as we get, it's like the Lord always sends us one or two of these a day, and we are reminded, hey, you know, we're not the only ones. And you know, together, maybe we have a shot at changing the direction that this country is taking. So do we want to talk about Saturday before we wrap up this segment? Mm-hmm. All right. Why don't you do that?
So we have that billboard that we got, the electronic, it's called a blip, BLIP board. People never understand what I'm saying, but it's kind of like electronic.
Digital trucks. Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And that is going to be running around Raleigh this Saturday, the 18th. And we are having it called Protest to Convoy. Instead of a protest, it's going to be a convoy.
It's really going to be a convoy for medical freedom, where the whole entire goal is to gather and educate.
Yep. So we understand there will be several all over North Carolina and throughout Raleigh, PAVE, people advocating vaccine education, which is vaccineeducation.org, and that's where you can donate, because we need your donations to continue this education campaign. Two Citizen Moms, us, Heal and See, are uniting to educate, and we've hired a digital billboard truck to drive around Raleigh, flash the data and the facts, and we're going to play Del Bigtree's Get Vaccinated. That is the high wire.
Okay, now wait a minute. We probably need to say that again. It is not Get Vaccinated. It is Get Vaccinated, F-A-C-T-S. And if you are not familiar with the High Wire or Del Bigtree's videos, you can text 33222. And what you want to do is text ICAN, that stands for Informed Consent Action Network, hit the word send, and that will sign you up for ongoing texts from Del Bigtree's the High Wire, and they will send you the weekly show link, which is Thursdays at 2. You will have a once a week opportunity to catch up on all of the news, around the Jackson world. Report. Mm-hmm. And really, we have said all along, he's what, 6, 8, 10 months ahead of any other mainstream media, and the most honest, most on the spot medical, you know, health reporter in America. So we got in touch with his show this past week, and they gave us permission to run his, you know, 1 to 3 minute videos on our digital trucks. And so we are super excited. We're going to be having his videos on this digital truck driving all around Raleigh.
And you can meet us there at 1:30 in the afternoon Saturday in the parking lot off of Capitol Boulevard, mm-hmm. where the Sam's Wholesale Club is. It's right next door to it. It's called At Home
and the PetSmart, right?
And the PetSmart parking lot. We'll be in the back end of it because it's a pretty open parking lot.
So that's this Saturday at 1:30, and the truck is going to roll out at 2.
4700 Green Road.
Yep. We're going to convoy.
Yes, and we're going to convoy it downtown. So some people might want to protest downtown. We've heard some people want to do that. That's fine. I, myself, and Tara, we're going to continue.
We're going to be in vehicles,
We're going to follow the vehicle all around Raleigh.
Yeah.
It's going to go all over the place.
So it's going to be kind of cool, because from 1:30 to 2, we're all going to be painting our cars, right?
Yeah, we're going to have some pen chalk paint pens for you. Mm-hmm. Some of the things that we've come up with, you know, what were they?
We've been putting VAERS data on, unfortunately, we're not up to now over, I think it's 14,000 deaths from the vaccines. So we use openvaers.com, the red boxes summaries. We put the 3322.
Stop medical tyranny. Yep. You can, some of the ideas, stop mandates. Fauci lied, people died.
Yeah, Cooper's vaccine passport.
Yep.
Yep.
So bring your American flags. We're going to decorate our vehicles, or if you want to just make some posters and hang them out.
And then we're going to follow the truck around in a very large medical freedom convoy, right?
Yep. We're going to blow our horns. If you see us and you're not part of the convoy, take pictures of us and just kind of post them out there on other social media platforms. We are going to try to keep up where it's at throughout from 2 p.m. to 6 p.m.
Yeah, obviously we don't expect everyone to drive around for the full 4 hours, right?
I mean, come on, put your diapers on, get your snacks, stay in the car till you run out of gas.
So full disclosure, Tara will not be driving around for 4 hours. But I love the idea of this. This was your idea, right?
It was.
Okay, so I personally have never done a protest turn convoy, but this, I was telling my mom this the other day. This is the classic thing that Mindy like comes up with, and Tara just goes, okay, what time do we need to be there? I will do this yet again.
Well, I felt like it was the safest thing to do.
I agree.
Since we announced we were going to be speaking on the 18th, and that engagement is being pushed forward to the 25th.
The permits didn't happen.
Yeah, the permits didn't happen. And we know there's a lot of women and children and mothers and older people at these events.
Yeah.
And we just like to have our security with the police force on our perimeters with permits. So since that kind of fell through, people are still welcome legally to protest on sidewalks. That's not a thing. we just personally couldn't endorse people standing out there. So we thought the cars would be great. You can pack your kids up. They can hang their flags out. You can blow your horn. And we're going to continue to put updates on Telegram so that you'll know what block he's at or what road he's on. So if at 3 o'clock you can join, or 4 o'clock you want to know where the truck is, we're going to tell you where it's at.
And hopefully, by tomorrow, we are going to have a PDF of a flyer that is going to have therapeutics, exemptions, links to all the medical freedom groups, all the good stuff on it. And we are going to put it up on both our website and our Telegram. You're going to be able to print it. And when we stop at stoplights, if people seem to be engaging and wanting to have the conversation, hey, and this happens to us all the time, right? Because we've got the facts on our
We're also asking if you want, you'll take these on a weekend and you'll print them. They're a generic way of getting education out there.
Yeah.
Because so many people just don't know. They don't know what we know. And you can just go on a Saturday afternoon and make 100 copies or 50 copies, whatever you can do, and go to a Walmart and put them on every single car. You can go stand in front of a Publix, or you can go over to BJ's and put it all over their cars. We need to litter this state with education. Yeah. And these are generic. So they're just about therapeutics, about the deaths, about the warnings, about masks, and all the studies.
Where to find the medical freedom organizations in North Carolina.
And the news, the uncensored news.
Absolutely.
People don't even know how to find them on social media outlets. Yep. I was talking to a lady coming out of the dollar store the other day, and she's reading my van with her 20-something-year-old son.
Yeah.
And she said, I'd never heard of this. I'm sitting at Rex Hospital a couple of days ago with my mother at the admin person. She got out a piece of paper. She said, I've never heard of anything that you were telling me.
Yeah, so we really need to be armed with these, because when we're going to do a convoy like this, we're obviously going to be engaging with people. And so we will have copies that, you know, hand out as many as you want, but keep one so that you can, you know,
go home and make copies. Right, and we'll have a PDF for you to go and print. And you can do these on a Saturday afternoon or a Tuesday morning, or if you want to go wherever you want to go. Leave them in bathrooms when you go. Put them on grocery shelves.
And I was also going to say, I think the cool thing about doing this at this point, a year and a half in, is every time we do an event like this, doesn't it feel like a family reunion?
It always is. Yeah. And that's why I want this to be different with this information, that you can take this now when you go, well, I want to know what I can do after this.
Yeah.
Take these flyers, go to your neighborhood and put them underneath the doormats.
Yep. Take them to your work.
Take them to your work. Leave them in the bathrooms. Mm-hmm. Leave them in the grocery carts.
Yeah. Take them to your kids' school. Take them to your kids' preschool. Take them to your church. Hey, here's an idea. What if the churches actually started telling the truth about this stuff? Can you imagine how we might, I don't know, transform America into a land of truth?
Turn on some lights in the lighthouse.
No doubt. So we're really looking forward to Saturday. Hopefully we'll see you 1:30-ish Green Road. You can find all of the details of that on both of our, we'll put it up on the website in the show notes and on our Telegram page. Anything else before we wrap up segment one?
I think that's it.
Yeah, well, that was definitely a fire hose.
It was.
Yeah, and we don't apologize. So we'll see you in the next segment.
All right, we're going to start back with our second part of our show here. And it's going to be pretty serious. So we want to go ahead and just start off really quickly on how to send in donations for our electronic billboards to PAVE. That's PAVE. P.O. Box 690-712, Charlotte, North Carolina 28227. And you can go to their website. It's vaccineeducation.org. And then you just click the link in there to donate. And it will go straight 100% of the proceeds to getting out this information and education for North Carolina. Nobody else is putting this out there, because nobody else will touch it with a 10-foot pole. Nobody will touch truth.
Yeah, and thank you so much to everybody that has already donated. Yes. And thank you to the ones that have said you're going to donate recurrently. We need you. And everything that we do, full disclosure, is completely volunteer. So if you're going to send in a $100 donation and you're going to say, hey, this is for Guilford County, $100 out of $100 that you send in is going to go directly to advertising.
Yeah. And to tell you a little bit about how much money came in, I'm trying to find that.
We fully funded Raleigh already. We fully funded, I think, weekly trips for the next several weeks.
Just for Raleigh.
Mm-hmm, right. Just for Raleigh. We fully funded, it was Wilmington last week, right?
Yeah, but it was just that truck had other advertisements, and we kind of slipped.
That was kind of our launch, and now we are attempting to get the campaigns for Guilford County, Mecklenburg County, and Buncombe County. Those are our next target counties. And we are, I think, a couple thousand dollars away from being able to meet the goals for those counties.
Yes.
Yeah. And so, our trucks are running out of Wilson. And so if you want the education, the vaccine education message to come through your county, you can send in a donation. And if it is going, you know, from County A and they're going to go through County B to get to County C, let us know what county you want the truck to run in. And you can, you know, directly allocate your donation to run, you know, a truck in your area. And so really, wouldn't it be amazing if we could get to all 100 counties at some point?
That's
probably like dreaming, but at the very least, we're going to hit all of the very large metropolitan areas.
We are. And social media is great for showing what's out there. So we're going to video what this truck is saying, and you can hear it and everything when we're out there.
So we had an interesting conversation last week. We did a speaking engagement in Raleigh, right? Mm-hmm. And it was the first one we had done in a really long time. We used to go around the state, and we did this presentation called Three Ways to Break Free from Unconstitutional Orders. And we could kind of do that one in our sleep, right?
Yeah, we could.
And so...
And then it was exhausting and taking a lot of time from our families. And that's why we had to come to this platform.
Yeah. And we kind of transitioned from those three ways, which were legislatively, judicially, and then through civil disobedience, into kind of a new conversation because we're losing. Mm-hmm. We really lost legislatively. We talk a lot about the way that the Republicans really did everything within their power to prop up Cooper and to, you know, destroy liberty here and to kill the pieces of legislation that we were working on that would have prevented everything that's happening.
And their self-preservation as well.
Yeah. And then, you know, really judicially, we saw the Durham Sheriff's deputy, you know, the vaccine case kind of got dismissed after the Houston Methodist ruling, and that was disappointing and so on and so forth. And so we kind of looked at each other and went, well, what do we do now, right? Because we don't really have political solutions. We don't have good judicial solutions, at least that are right in front of us. We don't have legislative solutions. So what's left? And we talked about the fact that what was left was truth and the gospel, right?
That's it.
And so we had the speaking event and, you know, we began to really share and share our hearts. And we kind of backed up a little bit and talked a lot about vaccines, about being a parent, a mom, and, you know, the ethics surrounding the vaccine conversation, which we've engaged in quite a bit in terms of the COVID-19 injections, right? Mm-hmm. We talk about how Pfizer and Moderna were developed using fetal cell line HEK293, and Johnson & Johnson has PERC6 in the final product, right? So we don't have an ethical option.
But people didn't know what that meant.
Didn't really know what that meant. And so... I think we've successfully been able to educate a lot of people about this because this is kind of the primary argument people are using to push back against the vaccine
for the religious mandates. Exemptions.
Yeah, they're using religious exemptions and they're tying in this argument that the reason that I don't want to put this in my body is because it's abortion developed or abortion derived. Okay. And so then we got to talking about childhood vaccines.
In front of a group of mothers.
In front of a group of mothers. Mm-hmm. And, you know, when you've been in medical freedom and you've been a Christian and you have been having conversations surrounding the ethics for decades, you kind of just say things and you kind of forget that not everybody knows what you know.
Right.
And so the reaction from the room that day was...
They gasped.
Yeah. It was sobering. Yeah.
It really was.
And so we said, you know, we've been talking for a long time about how we really need to do a show segment, not just on the extent... to which there are not any ethical COVID-19 vaccines, but the extent to which there is an incredibly incestuous relationship between the abortion industry and the vaccine industry overall. And what does that look like in terms of childhood vaccines? And so we want to just talk about this, and it's going to be hard to hear. And before we jump into this, I want you to hear God's heart towards you if you are either a mother or a father who has ever had abortion as part of your story, and you have found grace and forgiveness through the blood of Jesus. We don't want to have this conversation to indict you.
No.
We don't want to have this conversation to indict you if you have used abortion-derived vaccines for your children, but we want to have the conversation, right?
Well, I have been part of that scene, so
yeah,
I am no different than you. Yeah. I say that all the time. I am you. You are
but
me.
You also say, I didn't know what I didn't know, and when I knew better, I did differently.
Absolutely.
And so one of the things that most people don't understand is that the vast majority of childhood vaccines are abortion derived. And so when we do these presentations, we often talk about the fetal cell lines. And so I'm going to just jump in, you know, quickly. And this is a hard segment to do because I feel like there is a sobriety that we have to approach this issue with, because these are human beings, right? And science never treated them as such. So when you begin to research the relationship between the abortion industry and the vaccine industry, you start seeing the scientific names of fetal cell lines, right? And we talk about the common ones. So you're going to hear WI38, MRC5, HEK293, PERC6, WALVAX, WI26, WI44, MRC9, and so on and so forth. And so, you know, just to give you a brief overview, WI38 was a 12-week baby girl. MRC5
was a baby girl.
Was a baby boy.
MRC9 was a baby girl.
HEK293 was a Dutch baby girl.
And PERC6 was an 18-week baby girl.
WALVAX, also a baby girl, WI26, WI44, baby girl, and so on and so forth. Most all of the babies were aborted somewhere between 12 and 18 weeks gestation. And all of these cell lines were used for what scientists would call the advancement of vaccines and frankly, a lot of other medications. So there has been this narrative for a long time, and I've seen this inside Christian circles, and this was largely perpetuated by a focus on the family, that only two babies. Have you heard this argument? Uh-huh. It was only two babies. Mm-hmm. Only two babies were ever used. The cell lines were replicated. They were immortalized, right? So while we've got a lot of ethical issues, it was only two babies.
Well, Stanley Plotkin blew that out.
And that is probably, you know, we are never going to be able to, in a 20 or 30 minute segment, to do justice to this conversation, but we can really point you in the right direction if you are a person who wants to research this. And frankly, if you're a parent, we believe you have a moral obligation to research this. Mm-hmm. So you can go pretty much anywhere online and Google Stanley Plotkin 2018 testimony. And then go ahead and put 76 fetuses, because this is really where it's going to pop up. It's going to pop up all over the internet. And I believe even YouTube still has his testimony up. In this sworn testimony, Stanley Plotkin, who's known as the quote-unquote godfather or grandfather of vaccines, gives testimony in which he admits under oath that he dissected or oversaw the dissection of 76 babies for a single vaccine experiment.
And these are babies. They literally get into the tongue. Mm-hmm. They get into all types of body parts and their organs. So this isn't when you all think of
just cells. Right, no. Right. No, and he, you know, and a lot of it, as mothers, it's very difficult for me to talk about without crying. Yep. So I won't actually go into a lot of the...
But we know the universities where we've had people talk about where they've taken the warm babies.
Yeah, directly from an abortion clinic across from the university medical center, and they walk them across and they're dissecting them. And they're, you know, the relationship between Planned Parenthood and the American abortion industry
and the universities
and the pharmaceuticals, it is absolutely inarguable that
vaccines are perhaps the greatest lie of the 20th and the 21st century.
No doubt about it.
And man was deceived into believing God is so ignorant that man had to improve on God's design for the human immune system with dead baby parts, aluminum, mercury, cow serum, bacteria, monkey kidney tissue, and lots of other adjuvants, preservatives, including fun stuff like polysorbate 80.
And you know, one of my favorites, the African green monkey kidney pus cells, those are fun too. So,
and formaldehyde.
So we, you know, a lot of these, you know, substances, you take the aborted fetal cell lines and you put them over here, and then you take all the substances that Mindy just listed, and you ask yourself, oh my goodness, you know, what exactly is the Western industrial medical complex doing and branding it as health, right? This is the way to stay healthy. And so, you know, the interesting thing about the COVID quote unquote conversation has been 2 years ago, we couldn't have these conversations.
No, we could not.
And people were very, very resistant to hearing anything. And now
healthcare workers were rolling their eyes.
Yes.
And pediatricians have kicked a lot of people out of their offices.
Well, and
their
even
children.
Inside the church.
The churches as well.
I've been involved in more than one church where, you know, I wanted to have the conversation with pastors and the leadership about the ethics of vaccine, and that focus on the family. Oh, it was just two. And while it was unfortunate that two babies died, you know, there was all of this moral relativism applied to the argument. And there was this ethical stamp that was put on all childhood vaccines. And of course, you know, the narrative is unraveling. And while we hate what is going on right now, and we hate the lies, and we hate, you know, the ministry of truth, right? That is really everything that's up is down and left
but
is right.
But who's controlling this narrative? Big Pharma.
Big Pharma, right. Yep. And so,
and your three-letter government agencies.
So our, you know, we really wanted to take a segment and direct our listeners to some places where you could just start, because once you actually start digging into the relationship between Big Pharma, the Western Industrial Medical Complex, and vaccines, you're going to go, you know, all over the place. But there are four websites and then a couple books that we want to tell you about. The LozierInstitute.org.
That's LozierInstitute,
Institute.org, CogForLife.org, which stands for Children of God for Life.org. If you do, if you don't research anyplace else, that would be our go-to.
And we'll go back to that in a minute.
We are absolutely going to go back there.
LiveAction.org.
And then, of course, our own PAVES website, VaccineEducation.org.
And that's with two E's, everybody always asks.
Yeah.
VaccineEducation.org.
Yes. Yeah, so if you want to research, you know, more into what is in vaccines and what are the ethical, consequences what does the relationship look like between vaccines and the abortion industry? Those are going to be your four websites.
And one book is Dr. Suzanne Humphrey's Dissolving Illusions.
And that is probably, there are any number of books that
it's
we could
like
recommend.
The gospel
but
of
yeah.
This.
Yeah. So one of the things that parents often ask us is, well, if I'm not going to vaccinate my children on the schedule, and I'm not going to do everything that, you know, the Big Pharma and the NIH, right, and the CDC tell me to do, well, you know, how on earth would I deal with measles, or what would I do if my child got a childhood illness? That is the amazing thing about Dr. Suzanne Humphrey's book, is she not only really explains to you the history of all of these childhood
diseases. Yeah.
She kind of, you know, explains. Yeah, she debunks all of the myths surrounding them, and then she says, hey, in 21st century America, we know why childhood diseases often, you know, turned out to be far more serious than they should have been. And ultimately, nutrition is the key. And then she gives you all of the nutritional information that you need to understand if your child were to actually get a childhood illness, how to fight it, how to treat it. And so it's really, it's the gospel, right, of vaccines. Mm-hmm. And so it's the one book we can, you know, you can email us and we can give you, you know, more resources, but that would be the one place we would say to start.
And we'll link that to Dr. Yeah. Suzanne Humphrey's Dissolving yeah. Illusions.
Yeah. So to carry this conversation into what happened this week that was shocking to us and interesting and all of the above, and then we came full circle and closed the gap a couple days ago.
Got a letter sent to us by...
Yeah. It was Conway Regional Medical Center.
In North Carolina.
It was South Carolina,
right?
South Carolina. And they were... it was fascinating. They were suggesting to their doctors and nurses on staff who were applying for medical exemptions, or sorry, religious exemptions, using the aborted fetal cell line connection argument to the COVID-19 injections. They sent out this list of common medications. In fact, can you just go ahead and read the entire, paragraph?
They said, based upon your religious exemption request, we ask that you complete the below, attestation. This will help to validate your understanding of the ubiquity of fetal cell use in the testing and development of common medicines and consumer products and support your claim of a sincerely held belief. The following is a list of common medicines that have used fetal cells in their development.
Okay, now you gotta read these medicines. This will blow your mind.
And this is, they put down Tylenol, Pepto-Bismol, aspirin, Tums, Lipitor, Sennocott, I don't know some of these, Motrin, Ibuprofen, Maalox, Ex-Lax, Zocar, HIV-1, Tylenol, cold and flu, Benadryl, Sudafed, Albuterol, Preparation H, MMR vaccine, Claritin, Zoloft, Havrix, Verilix, there's Zoloft,
to make a long story short, it was every common and a few not so common medication known to mankind. This hospital is claiming all of these were either developed with or derived from aborted fetal cell lines. So we look at each other and we say to ourselves, wait a minute, they're actually making the claim that there is not a single medication, you know, over the counter that an American might commonly use that isn't somehow connected to abortion. This is astounding. We've been in this movement for a really long time. We've never heard this claim. You know, what do we do?
And sign here that you're agreeing you're never going to use
any of these because you're saying I won't take the COVID-19 vaccine. So that's fine, but you can't use any of these either because these are all also abortion derived. It was such an unbelievable claim. We actually sat on it for a couple days, just really head spinning. So then we got to talking, right? So aspirin is on this list. Well, I, for one, you know, remember from, I don't know which book I read that aspirin was actually made in the late 1890s, right? Mm-hmm. And so, you know, we got to talking, we're like, wait a minute, aspirin is not abortion derived. This is insane. So let's just start with aspirin. Mm-hmm. Well, it became very obvious that there were a lot of problematic claims being made by this hospital in terms of these medications. And yet, understanding Big Pharma's relationship with abortion, it's almost like nothing would surprise us at this point, right? When you realize that Pepsi and Nestle had, you know, a manufacturing contract to use aborted fetal cell lines in testing and development for flavoring on any number of, you know, products that was then canceled because so many people threatened to boycott Pepsi and Nestle that they canceled the contract. Like, nothing surprises us. So we thought, okay, we want to go ahead and reach out to the one organization that we know to be the absolute best source and the one that we have followed, Children of God for Life, for years because they have so ethically and appropriately amazingly to their credit, always been up to date on, you know, the ethics behind vaccines.
And that's COG for Life, COG4FORLIFE.org.
Yeah.
So go ahead and tell you what they sent back to us.
So we reached out to their research department and sent them this list and said, look, we are hearing back from healthcare workers at this hospital that unless they sign that they don't use all these abortion-derived products, they can't take a religious exemption from the vaccine. We said, what do we do? We need help debunking this. And it was amazing. They got back to us within 20 minutes.
Yes,
and they said,
incredible.
Virtually every claim on that list, of course, except for some of the vaccines, is absolute nonsense.
Right.
And they went ahead and directed us to an article.
And we listed that that letter from Conway on our Telegram.
Yeah, we did. So we want people to be able to see what
and the article listed to
this
too.
Mm-hmm. So the article from LifeSite News says, let's get a few things cleared up. Testing cell lines and fetal tissue. And it begins, our mission is to end the use of aborted fetal tissue in scientific research. We know enough to get To work on that, aborted fetal cell lines came from aborted fetal tissue. I see no material difference between them from a moral perspective. And so going through this article, they explain that the claims that this hospital is making actually came from an article written by, I think it's Francis Matthew Schneider, in January of 2021 that generated much attention and discussion. His article calls the reader's attention to the ubiquity of aborted fetal cell lines in the testing of medications. And in the third paragraph of the article states, below I will list out a sample of drugs tested on HEK-293, like Moderna and Pfizer vaccines, point out errors in their reasoning, and point to two ethical things we should do as Catholics. This was written from a Catholic perspective.
The key word is tested.
Testing. Yeah. And conclude with a point on overthinking remote cooperation and evil. So we cannot possibly, in one segment, read the entire article or do justice to it. We would beg you to read it yourself, because this is going to become a common tactic, right, mm-hmm. that is going to be used not just inside healthcare
it's
systems.
It's the narrative, and it's a twist
yes,
on truth.
It's a twist on truth. So this is what happened, okay? Aspirin was developed in 1897, late 1890s. Mm-hmm. However, in 2014, and I think again in 2018, 2019, two scientists who do not have any ethical standard in my opinion, if you consider yourself an ethical scientist or a person who follows Christ, and you can test anything on dead baby parts, you need to get right with God and, you know, go back to square one and stop participating in something that is that wicked and that evil. But that said, in, you know, what, 120 years after aspirin was developed, this mad scientist decided that he was going to use HEK-293, which, by the way, HEK stands for human embryonic kidney cell. So, you know, it gets very real when you start really understanding the
way
that
definitions are.
Yeah, but it sounds it sounds a lot more ethical if you just call it an HEK, right?
That's right.
And so the argument that is being twisted is that somehow, because 100 and some odd years after aspirin was developed, one mad scientist or maybe more used this cell line to test aspirin, that therefore makes aspirin abortion developed or derived.
It's not true.
It's absolute nonsense.
Yeah.
And so that said, it's somewhat frightening that hospitals are actually, you know, standing on this narrative and attempting to suggest that, you know, basically every over-the-counter is somehow connected to abortion, because 100 years or whatever post-development, 50 years post-development, a scientist
tested. It seems to coincide with what they're doing with the CDC protocols. They aren't questioning science. They aren't questioning anything. Instead, the doctors are taking down whatever the CDC is telling them to do, and they are literally not questioning any of it.
Absolutely.
That is exactly what that letter just signifies to me.
Absolutely. So I do want to read this one paragraph, because he kind of
it was
funny that we kind of saw the aspirin, and that was what our eyes were drawn to, and then we had these conversations. So he actually extracts the aspirin argument as well, and he says, Schneider is referring to the subsequent use of aspirin already developed, free of any association with abortion, and aborted fetal cell lines and some other experimental application documented and published many, many years after aspirin hit the shelves. That does not retrospectively taint the development of aspirin as immoral. Is Henry Ford responsible for drunken driving, or John Moses Browning responsible for armed robberies? Of course not. An immoral, irresponsible act subsequent to and completely unrelated to the creation of an object used in the commission of the act does not make the creator of the object an accessory or complicit in any way. I researched 14 of the drugs on his list and found that 13 of them fall into the same category as aspirin. So how does this, you know, apply to the conversation about whether or not COVID-19 vaccines are ethical? Okay. COVID-19 vaccines, all three of the ones that are on the market today, Pfizer, Moderna, and J&J, were indeed at their origin either tested on, developed with, or derived from aborted fetal cell lines. They are not like aspirin.
Even though I listened to a school board meeting yesterday, I think it was Granville County, where the actual doctor says, oh, by the way, the ingredients, none of them have fetal cell line tissue in them.
So see, it's semantics, because what he's saying is it doesn't have it in the final product. He doesn't, she doesn't mention, well, I mean, yeah, they were, in order for them to actually be developed in the first place, we used fetal cell lines, which make them an unethical product.
And she also included, pregnant women can take it and lactating babies. I couldn't even believe I was hearing her even going to that.
And how many reports have we heard of pregnant women that have taken the vaccine?
FDA has already come out on that and stating with that their conditional FDA approval on the Pfizer shots, they have zero data.
Zero testing.
On children.
That's right.
I mean, on the mothers, pregnant mothers, as well as the lactating babies and the sterility.
We do know, I was just reading the open VAERS, and we do know that there have been multiple reports of deaths of the lactating babies and of, gestational babies, babies that were...
Flu shots actually have a... For women who are pregnant, they actually have it as a side effect that you could lose your children.
Absolutely.
But they don't have it in this?
Again, so this is why we talk about this a lot. The Bible says God's people perish for lack of knowledge. And so, again, we are going to wrap up this segment, but we wanted to challenge you before we go to do your own research. You know, ask yourself whether or not utilizing abortion developed or derived products, vaccines, medications, cosmetics, you know, can you live with that in terms of, you know, the way that you apply your own moral code?
And I heard a pastor say this week, I don't think that we find all the answers in people. Mm-hmm. I think that he wants us to turn to him.
Absolutely.
For them.
And
for
God's purpose. And so, God's word is very clear.
So all of us don't, but you and I, we don't have the answers for you, the listener, or what you should do with your jobs or what you should do with your medications or your injections. Sometimes he wants you to turn to him, and he doesn't give you the answers through people.
Well, and he doesn't actually, you know, I don't believe that God ever gives you answers in an extra biblical way. So, you know, I'm sure I'm going to have, you know, theologians, you know, who yell at me about the doctrine of extra biblical revelation or whatever. But I truly believe the Bible teaches that all that we need for life and godliness is contained inside the words of the book. And so God's word is very clear. Read Psalm 139 about life and about the sanctity of life. It's very clear about, you know, the way God feels about hands that shed innocent blood. It's very clear his heart towards those who cannot speak for themselves, right? We are called to defend the weak, right? And, you know, the innocent, what is more innocent than a helpless child? Right. And so I believe that to the extent...
And we're the voice for the voiceless.
Absolutely. Sure. And I believe that to the extent that we understand the things that we utilize and engage in, we are then held accountable to God for either repenting and turning away from it, saying, Lord, forgive me, I didn't know, or saying, you know what, I'm going to slap moral relativism to, you know, this particular part of my life, and I'm just going to keep on going. And it has been so sobering and so disheartening to us, the number of churches and pastors that we've reached out to and said, let us have a conversation with you about the moral implications and the ethical dilemma that is aborted fetal cell line developed
as
or
well
derived
as the
vaccines.
Christians that are standing on this platform that are politicians in this state of North Carolina.
Yeah, that are promoting it.
They are promoting it. They are voting for the vaccine lotteries.
Yep.
And they are not speaking out on the genocide that's happening.
They're not,
and the side effects.
And they're not doing anything to warn people. Mm-hmm. They are not in any way sounding the
informed
alarm.
Informed consent.
And they are not doing anything to put out the truth about the therapeutics that really are saving lives. And so,
if they speak against for the therapeutics, then they're speaking against, in my opinion, their funding, their CVS
Absolutely.
Money that's coming in.
Their donors.
A lot of them are connected to Big Pharma. So
yeah.
It all ties back to yourself, your responsibility for yourself.
Personal responsibility. And your responsibility before an almighty sovereign mm-hmm. God who sees all, who knows all, mm-hmm. and who ultimately wants us to trust him and not the wisdom of man, and certainly not the abortion-derived pharmacologics of man, right? And so the willingness to even have this conversation, we appreciate the fact that you have hung in here yeah. with us. We know it is a difficult conversation to have, and we would really challenge you to dig in, do your research, check out some of the links that we are going to provide in the show notes and the books that we've talked about. And if you find yourself with questions, if you find yourself, you know, struggling, send us an email. We really don't shy away from hard conversations.
We don't, and we pray for you. And if you want us to pray for you specifically for something, please let us know.
Yeah, reach out on that too. So I think that's going to wrap up this segment. And
we love you all.
Yeah.
And we're here. We're yeah. here on this platform only because we're glorifying him in all that we do. This has nothing to do with us. Never has.
Yeah. And we, how many times have we said we are ready to pass the torch yeah. The minute that somebody else wants to come along and run with it? And until then,
we'll still stand here and educate
yeah.
and talk about the gospel unabashedly.
Yeah. And to God be the glory.
Amen.
All right. We'll see you next time.